gestrandet in einem Flughafen in Costa Rica. Ohne Visum, ohne Geld, ohne Kreditkarte, ohne alles. Wie das passieren konnte, erzählt in dieser Folge der Reiseflops von Weltwach Steven Kearns. Ich bin Erik Lorenz, herzlich willkommen und los geht's. Mein Gast heute ist Steven Kearns. Steven is sitting right in front of me and Steven is one of the very, very best friends I have made in Los Angeles and one of the best friends I've made in the US and really one of the best friends by now, full stop. So it's really my pleasure to have you on my show, Steven.
Thank you. Happy to be here. So
are you though?
I am actually.
Because I have to tell our listeners, I think I needed to convince you a little bit to do this, right? And to revisit the traumatic experience that we are going to talk about.
It's certainly my least favorite vacation. it definitely was painful at points, but, you know, we got through it.
It was short and painful.
Yeah. It was a 24-hour or so just grueling endeavor. And this is coming from people who are pretty prepared for travel. You know, Linda's worldly and knows the credit card system.
Your girlfriend.
My girlfriend Linda's pretty worldly and knows the credit card system and how to, like, game airline points and all that. Whereas I've traveled a lot, so we knew the score. We're pretty adept at this.
And you are traveling with Cedric, my husband, and me. So we were four people in one group that had some experience internationally. So we were confident that we would be able to pull this one off.
Yeah, and there had been a lot of planning, and we had this thing dialed in.
It was supposed to be an amazing friend trip to Costa Rica.
Yes.
We wanted to hike in the jungle. We wanted to dive. It was going to be our first time to dive. We were looking forward to this for weeks and months.
Yeah, so especially with the diving part, you know, we'd heard you and Cedric and our mutual friends who we met through you, Nancy and Brian, talking about your love for diving. Mm-hmm. And diving had been on my list of things to knock off for 5 to 7 years. So this was it. This was confronting the ocean. We were going to do this.
And you prepared. I mean, you practiced, Linda, and you did all the theory for weeks. You were ready to pass these online exams and all of that. You were ready to hit the water.
Yes. And you know, a little bit of deeper context here is this is at the end of my first semester teaching grad school on top of being a civil servant lawyer. So I was, you know, at wit's end. I needed relief.
You needed a vacation urgently. You were really overworked in this time.
Yes. And so is my girlfriend, Linda, because she had just started business school on top of having a full-time career as a journalist. So, you know, we had this guiding light at the end of the tunnel that, you know, come Christmas, we're going to do this with our friends. It's going to be beautiful. We're going to conquer the ocean. And, you know, but not without a wonderful stop in Mexico City.
Yeah, and it started pretty well in Mexico City. We had a great time.
Oh,
I think it was just one day, but it felt like a trip in itself.
Oh, yeah. So there was some foreshadowing that occurred in Mexico City. You know, we were in the airport in LAX, Los Angeles, which is our place of departure. And Linda gets us upgraded to first class. I've never flown first class internationally. It was a delight. So I'm already, like, feeling pretty amped.
And she made sure you enjoy first class consciously.
Oh, yes. So, you know, never having flown first class internationally before and being a sleepy traveler, I fell asleep sitting up, to which my girlfriend Linda taps me midway through the flight.
Wake up, wake up.
Yeah, wake up. You're not enjoying first class enough. You must recline. And I'm like, why did you wake me up to have me go back to sleep? And then I took her advice and I reclined and I understood immediately.
This is a different deal now.
Yeah, so this is on the flight to Mexico City. So we get there and this is really where the first step of the story I'm about to tell begins. So
the story is really just for people, stay tuned. It is the mother of all travel failures, in my opinion.
Okay. You know, when you're going to do something, do it as a 10, right? So we get to Mexico City and we land and we're eager to have the food and we're, you know, getting out of the airport. And I keep my wallet in my front pocket. I've lived in Italy. I've had my friends be pickpocketed. Never happened to me. We leave the airport. I realize my wallet's missing. I can't find it. It's not in the Uber. The gentleman comes back. No luck.
Searched the car. It wasn't there.
wasn't there. So I'm like, okay, you know, whatever. I can cancel my cards. It's just a lost ID, really. Bureaucratic nightmare, but nothing too bad that I can't deal with right now. And Linda and I share a credit card for couples expenses. You know, that aside, we go out, we have a wonderful day, we have great tacos, we go out to this restaurant M, which was phenomenal, and then we go out to the bars, and the four of us are having the best time. And I don't remember who said it, but they're like, what if we've peaked?
What if this is already the highlight of the whole trip? Because it is so awesome here in Mexico City.
Yeah, like we could stay here forever. Like, what if this is as good as it gets? And we laughed it off and, you know, had a couple drinks and we're like, huh, what a funny thought. So we wake up at 5 a.m. or so, get into the taxi or the Uber or whatever, and go to the Mexico City airport, and we fly to Costa Rica, land afternoon, was it-ish?
Yeah, early afternoon.
Now, for context, for people who may not know, Eric's husband, Cedric, is a Chinese citizen. So he has a Chinese passport. My girlfriend, Linda, is a Chinese citizen, has a Chinese passport. So we're walking behind Cedric and Eric, and they get to the passport check and are let in. Mm-hmm. And then Linda and I go to the passport check, and we have this, I don't know, middle-aged, somewhat rough around the edges looking woman checking us in. And, you know, she looks at my passport. I'm a U.S. citizen. No problem. She looks at Linda's passport, quickly thumbs through it, and becomes immediately irate.
And irate? What does
angry,
that mean?
Angry. Upset. Yeah. Provoked, yeah. Perhaps. Yeah. And she goes, no, you can't come in. You have to leave now. And Linda's like, wait, hold on. Why? And she's like, you don't have a visa. And she's like, well, yeah, but I'm a U.S. permanent resident. I've been living in the United States since I was 16. I don't need a visa. I talked to the Costa Rican embassy about this. And, you
know, she did here in LA, where we are recording right now, by the way. There's some background noise that you may hear. She went to the embassy. She talked to them. She made sure she has all the bureaucratic requirements properly lined up.
Correct.
That's what she thought.
So Cedric had also been like, yeah, I'm a Chinese national, permanent resident in the U.S. Like, that's not a thing you have to worry about. So Linda goes, you know, I have the stamp, says I'm a U.S. permanent resident. This woman becomes even angrier and is like, we don't take the stamp. Where's your card? Linda goes, what card are you talking about? She goes, U.S. permanent resident card. Linda goes, "That I've been in the U.S. since I was 16. That thing expires after 1 year. I haven't had that for most of my life at this point.
Just the physical version of it, because you don't, never really need it.
Yeah, the U.S. stamps your passport with all the weight and authority of the U.S. government. This woman is immediately like, I am not accepting this. Cedric and Eric have now kind of circled around to what's Linda and I's left and are watching this, like, confused, like, what's going on? Security comes over, and this is happening very quickly. The whole process so far has been 90 seconds, 2 minutes maybe. There's yelling in Spanish.
Yeah, the situation got tense really quickly. They wanted you to leave right now, and they wanted us also to not lurk around. They also tried to usher us away because immigration is not a place where we're supposed to hang out and chill.
Correct. Yeah. So keep in mind, this is Christmas Eve. That is an important part of this. Yes. So Christmas Eve, this is what we're doing. And I'm like, okay, what's going on? They're like, she's getting on a flight to Mexico City right now. It's leaving in 10 minutes. And I'm like
referring to Linda.
Yeah, Linda. And I'm like, well, can I join her? And they're like, no, the flight is full. And I'm like, oh, can we have a few minutes to coordinate plans? They're like, absolutely not. No.
She's leaving right now. She's being deported.
Yeah. And this conversation is happening as they're like walking Linda and I over to like what is essentially a
detaining room.
Detaining. Thank you. So no time to really plan. No time to coordinate. Still processing what's happening. Linda's gone. Just gone. And I am sitting in this detention room with this Russian, I assume Russian guy.
Meanwhile, Cedric and me we don't even have a chance to really talk to you guys. We just see what's happening. Hear some of the words that are being spoken from the back and from the duty-free stores, like Christmas carols are being played, like trying to get into a festive atmosphere. And we just start to realize, wow, this trip may be over right now. It's hard to believe, but based on your faces, things are not going well in these discussions.
Yeah, I couldn't even imagine what our faces look like. But yeah, to Eric's point, you know, just 5 feet away, Pura Vida, yeah. And on our side, like, no Vida. Yeah. And
so Linda's gone.
Linda's gone, and I am sitting there confused, and we all are supposed to catch a small flight to Drake's Bay, which is paradise on Earth for diving, as I understand it.
A tiny domestic flight and a kind of Cessna flight, airplane.
Yeah. And so we have like an hour before that flight board. So, you know, the pressure is on. So I'm in detention. I'm like, okay, I can't get on the flight. What am I to do? And then I realize I don't have any money. I have no access to anything because I'm a Luddite, you know, and I don't have a digital wallet.
And your wallet has been stolen.
And my physical wallet's been stolen. And Linda and I joint card is in Linda's pocket. And it has dawned on me that I am screwed.
Yeah.
And I'm becoming hungry. I have not eaten since the night before. And it's probably mid-afternoon at this point. So Cedric and Eric are patiently waiting for me in Pura Vida. And I'm trying to leave No Vida. I go back up to the passport people. And I'm like, you know, can I go into the country? No. And they take my passport from my hands. And I'm like, okay, can you explain why? No, go sit in detention. I go sit in detention. Meanwhile, that Russian guy I was with is having a conversation with the Costa Ricans. And I obviously don't
understand. He was also in detention?
Yeah, he was in detention.
He was also going to be deported.
That was my understanding. That he was going to be on the plane Linda was, and that's why he had the last seat. I don't know what his situation was. Two things happen in short order. One, Linda texts me a picture from the plane. It is empty. She's like, this plane has a lot of people missing. You could be on this plane.
Because you wanted to go back with her. Yeah. I mean, as you said, it was Christmas Eve. You didn't want her to go back home and be depressed in LA by herself.
Yeah.
About the holidays that never happened.
Well, at the time, we thought she was going to go to Mexico City.
Yeah.
And we're like, okay, like, you know, we'll make the best of it.
They told you, no, it's not possible. The plane is full. So now you were separated.
And so now the guy who is allegedly taking my seat gets let in. I don't know why they let him in without vitriol or anger.
Let into the plane, you mean?
They let him into the country.
Oh, into the country. Yeah. he was fine suddenly.
He was fine, yeah.
And you were left behind.
Yeah, so I'm sitting there like, and I have done nothing wrong at this point. And so I'm like, hey, the plane's empty. Can I get out? No. Okay, can I get into the country yet? No. So there are about 30 minutes go by. I finally get let into the country. I go run over to the small airport where Cedric and Eric are at.
Ready for our domestic flight.
Yeah. Ready for the domestic flight. And I'm like, guys, I hate to do this, but like, I don't have any cash. Can you book me a flight to Mexico City, the soonest one possible? And, you know, Cedric being a travel whiz does exactly that, gets me a flight, I don't know, an hour and a half. I'm like, all right, well, guys, it's been great. I'm sorry we can't make it. Please have the best of time for us. And I run back, you know, the 300 meters from one airport to the next, and I'm back in this airport. Linda has now texted me our joint credit card. I'm like, okay, at least I have a credit card number. I'm now starving. Go over to the food vendors, and I'm like, do you guys take online orders? Nope. Can I show you a picture of a credit card? Nope. Can I give you the credit card number for food? No. So I'm starving. There's no options. Whatever. Flight's in an hour and a half to Mexico City. Linda and I can hang out there and make the best of Christmas. If only it had been that way. Linda gets a text or texts me mid-flight. She has the in-flight Wi-Fi and goes, the flight staff has come over to me and taken my passport. I don't think I'm going to be able to stay in Mexico City. As far as she could gather, she was being deported to country of origin, which was Los Angeles, California, United States. I'm headed to Mexico City in, I don't know, 45 minutes at this point.
Where there would be no Linda.
Where there'd be no Linda on Christmas. And so I'm trying to get the flight canceled. Cedric's trying to get the flight canceled. As you can imagine, a same-day Christmas Eve flight to another country is not cheap.
Yeah.
No dice. You know, we're not getting this flight canceled. They basically say tough. You know, Cedric and Eric happily say, we'll handle that. Don't worry. I use Linda and I's joint credit card to book a flight to LAX. I am to arrive at 11:30 p.m. ish.
On the 24th.
On the 24th on Christmas Eve.
But this time we were not only hungry and hangry. We're also, of course, tired. I mean, we had a break in Mexico City, but it was a short night and a long flight. You were traveling a long time by then.
Yeah, and it was, you know, again, we woke up at 5 in the morning to get to Costa Rica, and it's probably like, I don't know, 6 or 7 p.m. by this point. I should clarify. So my flight arrived in LAX at 11:30 after being delayed. So I'm sitting in the airport being like, oh, my flight's delayed too. Sure, of course. I have a layover in El Salvador. I get on my flight from Mexico City to El Salvador. I'm sit next to an elderly couple who seem not to be in the best of health, and they're not wearing masks, and they're coughing aggressively. And I'm like, I might be getting COVID on top of this. And I have a mask, but it adds to the frustration.
Didn't feel good.
I didn't feel comfortable at all. So I'm arriving in El Salvador at Wits End. I am at gate 1 or A or whatever. And the gate next to me, B or 2, whatever it is my gate. I have 3 minutes to get to my flight. And I, as you can imagine, I am stressed. The pressure's on. I do not want to miss this flight. I at least want to spend Christmas with Linda.
You're running over to the gate.
Yeah, I run over to the gate. And I've never had this happen to me. There's a security checkpoint at the gate. And I get there and they're like, you can't have water. And I'm like, please, I just want my water. I could have it in gate A. Why can't I have it at this gate? And they're like, sir, please drink your water. I'm like, I don't want to chug a whole thing of water. Like, just please. And they make me chug my water. And then as I don't know if it was punishment or whatever, but they take my laptop charger.
That is so weird. Your laptop charger.
Yeah, so
why? I mean,
I will never know. Maybe
everyone travels with a laptop and a laptop charger.
I'm going to guess I wasn't in my best form. I was very agitated. I didn't say anything rude, but I was very short and terse. Yeah. And maybe they're just like, this guy, we have power over him, you know. So I, long and short of it, end up on this plane, no laptop charger. My laptop dies. There are no in-flight movies. There's no in-flight entertainment. There's no in-flight Wi-Fi. I have only my fury to keep me company. I'm just sitting there staring at the window, reflecting now that I can decompress on all the things that have gone terribly wrong and how much I needed everything to go terribly right.
That would have been nice.
It would have been. I needed it, frankly. And I land.
By now, how long have you been on the move?
Oh, God. Oh, geez. I don't know. I can't recall off the top of my head what time zone Mexico City's in, but I have been, if you don't count the 24-hour layover we had in Mexico City, since December 23rd, morning of, till now, the evening, 11:30 p.m., Christmas Eve. So, I don't know, 36 hours, give or take.
So, you are probably also sweaty, stinky, just like feeling disgusting inside and out.
Unshowered. Sweaty, starving, angry, like bitter, you know, really trying to understand too that Linda's probably going to feel worse than me in all this. So I'm like trying to steel myself, and I get off the plane and I am fairly withdrawn. I'm like stoic. I'm like hardly in my body. I meet Linda for perhaps the saddest hug of our relationship.
At the airport?
At the airport. Okay. She's patiently waiting. And I hug her, and I go, okay, it's going to be okay. I just want to go home. She goes, the airline lost my luggage. yep. Okay. We figure that out. They're like, yeah, we lost it. We're going to get it to you. We take an Uber. Now, Lynn and I live about 5 minutes apart in downtown Los Angeles, and we had left from my apartment. So we take the Uber to my apartment. We get out. It's 11:55 Christmas Eve. It's not, like the last moment before Christmas. Get out. My luggage breaks exiting the Uber. And I'm like, you know, of course, whatever. Who cares at this point? I stride confidently into my building. Our front doorman, I door this guy, Arnold, looks at me and he goes, Mr. Steven.
You are back already?
Yeah, well, you're back. What happened? A long story, Arnold.
We'll tell you another time.
Yeah. And so my front desk keeps an emergency set of keys that you can use to access your place should you get locked out. I live in a 4th-floor apartment, and Linda and I had left our keys on my bar, knowing full well that my keys...
You left it where?
Both of our apartment keys on the bar in the kitchen of my apartment, knowing full well we could just use the front desk keys to get into my apartment and retrieve our keys. And all we want to do at this point is go to sleep. We want the nightmare to be over. I get the keys from Arnold. Now, the keys come in an envelope, a manila envelope, about the size of my palm. I hit the elevator button. Elevator doors open. Now, to get to the fourth floor, you need to scan your keys into the elevator and then choose your floor number. So I'm preparing to take the keys out of the envelope, and I do not realize the envelope has a tear in the bottom. The keys fall out of the envelope into the elevator shaft. And in just one fluid motion, just... And it's scarred in my brain. I can see it as clear as day when I close my eye. And I don't enter the elevator, and it just dings.
So, I mean, this is really... You could try this 100 times to drop something and not make it hit the little gap between the elevator door and the elevator. I mean, it's a skill. It's difficult to do.
Oh, it was a bullseye. It was amazing. Like, it looked like I tried and did it with the grace of a master.
Yes.
Like, it just fluid just leapt from my hands and, like, you know, synchronized dived into the crack. And which really, the grace, it didn't, like, you know, hit the thing and ricochet.
Ding,
just
ding, ding.
Yeah, it was just smooth, like... Like, life was spiting me with, like, elegance at this point. And I just, the elevator dings, and I just lean against the side of the wall and kind of claps.
Yeah. And I mean, at this point.
Yeah, I didn't have much in me. And I consider myself a person of
great resilience.
Resilience and endurance. And I have to admit, I was defeated. I fell to the floor, just kind of leaned against the wall and just slumped. And Arnold goes, "Mr. Steven, are you okay?" And I was like, "No, Arnold, I'm not okay." "Do you have an extra key, Arnold, like a master key?
Like an emergency key?"
Yeah, like, you something. Know, the real, like, okay, the backup parachute from the plane is going down. He goes, "No."
That was it.
Yeah, and I was like, "Is there any way to get into the elevator shaft, Arnold?" And he goes, "Oh, well, we have a maintenance guy come about once a year." "I don't suppose he comes on Christmas, Arnold." "No, Mr. Steven." "Do you want me to call you a locksmith?" "I don't have a wallet, Arnold."
Linda had left you by then.
She's with me, but like I just so I go, "Arnold, do you have a ladder?" And I go into the storage. He let me use our building storage, and there's a tall ladder. And right now we're sitting on my balcony, so Eric can see what I'm about to describe with clear accuracy. So my balcony sits above
Let's have a look. Oh, yeah.
Like an awning, the floor below. And the awning juts out about 2 meters.
Yeah.
So if, like, I'm going to set up this ladder...
Like a for shade. Like,
yeah. So it's not tall. The ladder I have is not tall enough to reach my balcony because my balcony door's unlocked. So I would have to put it over the awning, which puts it on my neighbor's balcony below me, which, yeah. You know, is... an invasion of privacy on Christmas morning. I'm not exactly Santa Claus. So I would need to do that and then climb to the top of that ladder and then have Linda hand me a shorter ladder to which I'd have to set up another ladder. And I'm seriously contemplating this because I'm in an animalistic state of desperation.
This needs to end somehow.
Yeah, like I just need this. I need to sleep in my bed.
Yes.
And, you know, Linda and I confer and – her wise judgment, she goes, "You know, I don't know if this is the time to push your luck."
Exactly. Maybe not today.
Not today. So we put the ladders back. It's probably, I don't know, 12:15 Christmas morning. We walk over to Linda's. We go to sleep. Bitter resignation. And I wake up at 6 in the morning, and I call an Israeli locksmith. And I'm like, okay.
Let's fix this.
This guy is going to pick the door of my lock. You know, Christmas morning locksmiths aren't cheap, so $150 U.S. later, I'm standing in front of my door, 7 in the morning, delirious, unsure of what just happened to me, disoriented. Are we, you know, we still have a week and a half off work. What are we going to do? All this is going through my mind. And as the Rolodex of bad events is fluttering through my mind, I stop. My wallet has a military ID. I'm a U.S. Army veteran. My social security number is on that ID, and I'm like, oh, God. So I call my banks, and I'm like, hey, beyond, you know, canceling my cards, I want the extra layer of security. Yes. Because my social is exposed. Meanwhile, this Israeli locksmith is like trying to pick my lock, and he goes, I can't do this. Like 30 minutes of trying to pick this lock. I'm not the guy to get this done. I'm going to have to drill your door open. And I'm like, no, I really, can you just one more time? He does two more times. I'm tempted to ask him a third time, but I'm realizing
he can't get it done.
Yeah. And this is just, this is like having a migraine and being at a concert that you can't leave, that you never wanted to be at in the first place. And then a fire alarm starts going off and you have to exit immediately in a crowd. Like, it's just layers of things I don't want to happen to me on Christmas after I needed this. And
by this time, Cedric and me were very comfortable somewhere on a beach in southern Costa Rica with probably a margarita in our hands, looking at the sunrise, whatever. We enjoyed ourselves. We were sad that you were not with us. All the time, we were just like, oh my God, imagine if these two guys, blah, blah, blah. But we didn't have any idea what you suffered through in the meantime.
Oh, yeah. So this is, you know, they're just upset.
The world can change very dramatically in a short amount of time.
Yeah, because keep in mind, like, from the point where I'm at the locksmith, if you roll it back 24 hours ago, I was with Cedric and Eric. Like, we were on the flight together.
And
like,
life was good.
Life was great, you know. I was having, so far, the best start of a vacation I may have ever had. So there I am.
Israeli. So he can't open it.
Yeah, can't open it. And he goes, you know, I'm going to have to drill your lock. And he drills it. So I pay $150 to have my lock drilled. Linda and I, you know,
lock drilled sounds like a little drill, but I mean, there was a huge hole in your door.
It looked like someone shot my doorknob open with a shotgun. Like, it was just a blasted open doorknob. And, you know, I live in Los Angeles and I feel safe here, but it's a place you want to lock your doors. I don't really have great options on that because, yeah, I have a deadbolt, but there's a giant hole in my door. So Linda and I pitifully pass out. I wake up resigned that I have further duties, and I'm like, I have to go to Home Depot to get a new door, and then I can rest. I get the doorknob, I come home, I remove the doorknob, and so if you're listening and if you've never removed a doorknob, the part that faces the public is the female end. The part that is inside your home is the male end, and I say that because the male end has three prongs that are about, 3 inches long.
Like fingers sticking out.
Yeah, like a middle finger length. an adult's middle finger length. So I take out the doorknob. I am replacing that doorknob with the one I have purchased. It's done. I breathe a sigh of relief. And I sit down and I land my ass on the spikes from the male end of the doorknob I had just replaced and just gash. And there's this blood. And I'm just like, why? What?
So you cut your ass on your old doorknob.
Yeah.
This is what happened.
Yes. This is one continuous stream of events.
Jesus fucking Christ.
So and then Linda's just like, oh my God. And like, you know, so she's like putting like, you know, rubbing alcohol on it to make sure it's clean and like trying to bandage it. And it's like in the curvature of the crack of my ass, which I know is a lot of detail, but like there's not an easy way to bandage this. So it's just awkward and painful and humiliating. And then the toilet starts running. And I am like, at this point, I like try and do a quick fix. It's not fixed. I think I hugged the toilet bowl.
please.
Yeah, like as it's like, you know, like if whatever curse I have been hit with, whatever God I have offended, you know, whatever it is, like I surrender. Like I am this toilet bowl be my altar, but I am here. I am ready to seek for whatever forgiveness. And Linda is looking at me and she goes, What's wrong? And I realize the weight of every fight I have ever been in, metaphorical, physical, emotional, spiritual, whatever, that I have been in since I have a memory. And they all come cascading down at me like an avalanche. And I'm like, I'm just so tired of fighting.
Oh God. Like, that sounds dramatic.
Yeah. I was just like, I'm so tired of fighting. I'm just so tired. And this toilet has beaten me. And yeah, that was pretty much the end of it all. Linda is like, should we try and make the most of it? This is when California was getting uncharacteristically strong rains. She's like, you know, there's nowhere to go on the coast. Maybe we could go skiing. And I was like, I don't feel safe.
I don't want to leave my house anymore.
I don't want to leave my house. So we just, you know, did a nice staycation. Yeah. And the last bit of this, not one trip, but 2 weeks later, you know, Linda had been such a saint that I was like, I'll give winter sports a chance. So we go skiing mid-January. And my first run up, my rented snowboard, the binding had fallen off. And so I have to get the little sled of shame down the hill because I can't go down with one binding. And I pay the binding cost and I get a new binding and I go up. Now it's my real first one of the day. Without the details, because that's another story for another time, I go on my first run. I hit an ice patch, fall forward, and fracture my ribs. And that concludes every element of the worst vacation I have technically never gone on.
That is really, I mean, that is tough to beat as a series of failures.
Yeah, I mean, it was, I mean.
You could not manufacture that. I mean, that is just unreal. That is almost unrealistic.
Yeah, if I watched this in a movie, I'd be like, well, poof, no one has luck like that. We were pushing the envelope. But I had that luck that time.
Funny, because I wouldn't have considered you an unlucky person. You seem pretty well rested in yourself. You seem to have things in order in your life. You're not a chaos person. So it was kind of surprising with how much force this bad luck hit you.
Oh, yeah, 100% agree.
Out of nowhere.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, it was, you know, a bolt of lightning on a clear day. Yeah, to Eric's point, I've actually largely considered myself a very lucky person. You know, I've quipped about it many times. I've said, you know, I'm probably one of the luckiest people I've ever met. You know, large part because I have great friends, Eric included. And this actually made me reconsider my life. I'm like, wait, was this like a, you know, 1 to 35-year-old luck, and now it's the tide is turning and I've entered middle age and like it's actually going to be a cursed part of my life and this is but a taste. So, you know, this series of blows put like an existential angst that I had to wrestle with for like a week. It was like, oh God, like I'm, what do I do? Should I take chances anymore? Because I'm a pretty, you know, devil may care, let's see what happens kind of guy. You know, Eric and I were just talking about electric vehicle battery anxiety last night. And I was like, we'll see what happens. And so that's generally been my attitude up until this moment where I'm like, okay, this is going to make me reevaluate my entire life.
Well, I appreciate that you revisited this traumatic experience for us. As I said in the beginning, I think you were not too keen on. I remember you once after we came back from Costa Rica saying, okay, I'm willing to talk about this once right now for the sake of having a good evening, but then I need to lock this door and throw away the key and forget about this thing. This is not fun. This is too painful.
Yeah, like I'm pretty an open book and I'm like, you know, whatever, everything's fair play. That one I wanted to put in a vault and sink it to the bottom of the ocean and then you'd burn the map and be done with it. Like I didn't want any recollection of it, but, you know.
Let's call this a final farewell to that anecdote.
Yeah.
Now let's lock it away.
This is definitely the eulogy. It's out there. It's recorded. It's done. And, you know.
So now you can refer people to that one here, to the recording, to the episode.
Yeah. If anyone ever asks, I'm just going to look, it's out there. Here's a link. May it burn in hell.
Leave me alone.
Leave me alone. Yeah. I seek peace. You know, just I don't want any pity. So, you know, we're about to go to Japan. Visa's in order.
Giving up on traveling.
Yeah. We're not giving up on traveling. We didn't give up on diving. We actually rallied. Before we went skiing, we went to Hawaii and did like a stay-at-home work thing.
But nobody drowned.
Nobody drowned, but we did, in our free time, figure out how to get our diving certifications. Cedric and Eric fought very hard from their place of rest to get us a lot of our money back. So
for all the things we booked together.
Yeah, we didn't get all of it back, but we got enough of it back. And we're like, okay, whatever, we'll roll that cost over into committing to diving in Hawaii. So as it stands, we look forward to diving with you guys next time.
We'll try again.
Yeah, we'll try again.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Hmm. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.